Today is Thursday, September 23rd, 2021. This is a Grand Canyon oral history interview with Anne Sia Klein, and that's spelled A-N-N-E-S-C-E-I-A, last name K-L-E-I-N. My name is Tom Martin. This interview is being recorded in the backyard of our house here in Flagstaff, Arizona, and it's a great day to have Anne here at the house, and we're going to talk about the 1956 air disaster over Grand Canyon. Anne, what year were you born?
1942.
Okay. Where were you born?
In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital.
Okay. How are you related to the Sulpizio family? And I'll spell that S-U-L-P-I-Z-I-O.
My father was had a sister who was Jenny Sia, and Jenny had a daughter, and her daughter married Tom Sulpizio. So that's how we're related. And she's my first cousin. And so Tom is, Tom was also my first cousin. And their children, their child is my second cousin, first cousin once removed.
This is Tom Jr.
Tom Jr.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Did you grow up in Philadelphia?
No, I grew up in Hamilton, New Jersey.
Okay.
And so after I was born, I moved. We had the birth at Jefferson in Philadelphia, but then I moved to Hamilton, New Jersey.
Okay. Okay. And how did you know Jerry and Tom?
Knew.
Were they living there in New Jersey or?
Well, I knew Tom's mother. She was my first cousin.
Okay.
And she was Immaculata, I M M A C U L A T A. And she and Tom were married. And I don't remember anything about their wedding. I just can't remember. But I remember that Tom was 6 weeks old or 3 months old, was my recollection of when the crash occurred.
Okay, all right. I'm getting kind of a little confused here. Tom Jr.'s mother's name is?
Immaculata.
Immaculata, okay. Mm-hmm. Did she have a nickname for short?
Yes, Mac. Okay. We all called her Mac.
All right, nice. So you were at Mac and Tom's wedding?
I think I was, but I can't recall any of it.
Okay. How old would you have been then? Was that in 56? What year was that?
Probably 53, and 53. I probably was 11 years old.
Okay. All right. And was that in New Jersey? The wedding?
Think it was. Yes, okay. It was. And probably in Hamilton at St. Joseph's Church.
Okay. So your mom and dad and Mac and Tom would have been close, kind of living in the same general area then?
Yes, very close.
Okay, like same town or?
Same town and probably 6 or 8 blocks away from one another.
Okay. So in 1956, you were 14. You would have been in junior high school?
I think I was in probably 8th grade.
Okay. And did you like school?
I loved school.
What were your favorite classes?
My favorite was, in junior high, it was ancient history.
Wow.
In high school, it was math.
Wonderful. Nice. So this tragedy happened in the middle of the summer. end of June. And I'm assuming you weren't in summer school.
I was not okay. in summer school.
You would have been 14 then, roughly. How did you first hear about the collision between these two airplanes?
I woke up in the morning and I saw my Aunt Jean there, and she was my mother's sister. She is my mother's sister.
Okay.
And I said to Aunt Jean, "Where are my parents?" And Aunt Jean told me that Tom had been killed the night before. I still get too emotional.
It's all right.
Tom had been killed the night before in a plane crash. And I know that they went there. They went over to see my cousin Mac. And what they did was they called the doctor, Donald Volpe, V-O-L-P-E. And they went to Mac's door, and they knocked on it, and I remember that much. And my Aunt Jean said, Tom was killed in a plane crash. And I just remember I kept reading the newspapers, and I kept reading three brief words on the brink of eternity. "We are going," was what the captain said. And it was really sad. And my father used to have to truck me when I flew. He would give me phenobarbital, and my father had a license, because my father was a dentist, mm-hmm. and he had a license for all the narcotics and everything. Mm-hmm. So he would give me phenobarbital whenever I had to fly. And my father would always listen, and he knew what I was listening to. I was listening to the sounds of the engines, and I never really knew. It wasn't until we had 18 flights or 13 flights in 21 days in the Middle East, and that's when I finally got over my fear of flying. But it was pretty awful. Mm. And I remember the family being so upset, and I don't recall if I went to the funeral or the viewing or not. I'm sure I did. But in those days, my parents didn't let me go to funerals. And so I didn't go. But then there was so much commotion and lawsuits, and my uncle, who was James Caiola, C-A-I-O-L-A, James Caiola was the attorney, and he got the second largest lawsuit of anybody in the crash. The only person that got more was Ray Lasby, and I always remember Lasby's name because that was a name that my cousin was traveling with. He was the gentleman my cousin was traveling with, and I just remember Ray Lasby was from Haddonfield, New Jersey, which was probably Haddonfield, New Jersey. And that was probably 25 miles from my house.
Okay. What do you remember about Tom and Mac?
They were very much in love, and my cousin Mac didn't talk about it very much. She never really mentioned the crash at all. And so whenever we went to see her, we went to see her a lot. And she and my mother were very close. And so they were just like daughter and mother. And then Jerry and I went to see my cousin Mac toward the end of when she was alive. And she passed away when she was 85. And we went to see her a lot.
Do you have any recollections of Tom at all?
Tom, I remember, was just very handsome. Hmm. He was just a very quiet engineering type. And I don't have a lot of recollection of Tom because I was young at the time, and so it really wasn't so much in the top of my mind. But I always remember my saying to my aunt, "Where are my parents?" And she said, my Aunt Jean said to me, Tom was killed last night in a plane crash, and that's about all I remember.
Did you then go over to the house that day? Do you remember the next time you saw Mac after the crash?
I think my mother probably went a lot more than I did, right after the crash, but it was pretty awful. Hmm.
Looking through my notes here, who was it that was in the family that was the lawyer?
On my mother's side of the family,
yes.
She had a sister that married Uncle Jimmy, and they were also my godparents. And
right.
So my cousin Mac had become very friendly with Uncle Jimmy for everything. And I think that Uncle Jimmy just took care of everything for Mac. I remember that he took as much of the money that he got and put it all in preferred stocks and bonds to make sure that they wouldn't lose anything.
Right.
And that was Uncle Jimmy's primary objective.
What do you remember about him?
My Uncle Jimmy? Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember him very, very well. He was my godfather, and his wife was my godmother, and that was from baptism. And we just did a lot of things together. My uncle had a boathouse, and we went there a lot, and we fished, and we did a lot. And Uncle Jimmy was just great. He was really terrific. And so when my cousin Max said she was going to hire him, she did the right thing at the time. And my uncle was a criminal attorney.
Okay.
So he filed in as many courts as he was able to understand in those days, and my uncle just did a terrific job for my cousin Mac.
This was new litigation at the time.
It was certainly new litigation.
What do you remember about that?
I don't remember a lot, except my cousin went to see Uncle Jimmy, And the strangest thing is I threw out all his notes. He had written all sorts of notes from the lawsuit, and Tommy had tried to ask my cousin, but after 25 or 30 years, they just purged everything in the office. But I just recall that Uncle Jimmy said that he wanted my cousin to save the money that she got and to put it into safe securities. And so I know when Tom got older, when he was 21, he took a lot of the money out of the preferred stocks and bonds, but it was his to decide.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Today, in a new century, we have people specifically trained in grief counseling and after-action debriefing. Was there anything like that for you as a 14-year-old who knew the people involved? Was there anything like that?
No,
that you remember?
There wasn't any kind of grief counseling or anything that I recall.
How did you personally process your loss?
Personally, I did it with drugs and with frequent flying. My family, the first time we flew to Florida was about 3 years after the crash, and I kept listening and listening and listening, and my father just knocked me out so I could go to sleep. And so, but there was no grief counseling, nothing of that sort. So it was tough. It was really tough. And I loved my cousin so much, my cousin Mac, so much that I just kept talking to her, and she didn't mention it, but I just remember that we had many, many conversations about stuff with my family. My parents and my mother and father were so good, and they listened to me, and as I said, my father had a license to prescribe drugs, so he gave them to me.
What was Mac like? Can you describe her?
Well, I got to know her more as she got older. Mm-hmm. And she remarried a second time, and I always remember saying that there is nothing like your first marriage, she said. And I didn't like the guy she married very much, but she was very sweet. She was very kind, and she was always there for me. And I look at myself in the mirror and I think, oh my gosh, I'm looking like my cousin. So she was a wonderful lady. Hmm. She was really wonderful. And what I remember about her was her sweetness and her kindness, and how she always worried about everybody in the family. And she always worried about everybody.
When you visited with her in her later life, in her 70s and 80s, did she ever talk about those days?
Never.
Okay.
She never mentioned it.
Was her second husband still alive at the time?
They had gotten divorced.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, think about who needed counseling then. It would have been people like Mac.
Yeah, she should have had some counseling, and certainly she should have had it after her second husband, because none of us liked him very much, and I remember my parents saying he always wanted to get these big cars, and he had a love for bigness, and I think he saw my cousin as a meal ticket.
Okay. What did he do? Because Mac wouldn't have worked. I'm just assuming, that's an assumption on my part based on the times back in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
I don't remember what he did.
Okay.
I just can't remember. And he might have been retired, but they were older when they got married.
Okay.
It was probably 25, 30 years after that.
Okay.
After the accident.
All right. Okay. So you would have been 14. Tom Jr. would have been...
He was either 1.5 months or 3 months,
okay.
And I don't remember. I always remember my mother saying that she felt so sorry for Mac that she had lost her husband and her mother within 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's terribly difficult. Yeah. What do you remember about Tom Jr. as a child?
Tom Jr. Oh, I remember him. He would insist on getting what he wanted by throwing screaming fits on the floor. And I remember him.
Sounds like a normal child.
Like a normal child, yeah. Like a normal child.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you babysit for him?
No, I never did.
Okay.
But I can remember going to his house, and he used to sleep with his mother, and I think we always worried about that he always slept with his mother. But then he got very close to his grandfather, because his mother and lived with his grandfather, and so Tom really did a lot with his grandfather.
Nice. I think it would make perfect sense for both of them to sleep together, just given what they'd been through.
Yeah.
It might have been more helpful for Mac than for Tom.
I think so, too. I think it was probably very important. So, I don't know. It was just a very strange occurrence, waking up in the morning and asking Aunt Jean, where are my parents? Where are my parents? And that was the strangest part of the whole thing for me. And then I was so afraid to fly. Oh my goodness, I was terribly, terribly afraid. And then, as I said, I got over it when we had 12 or 13 flights in 21 days in the Middle East, and that did it.
What were you doing there?
Vacationing.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Up there. The Middle East mega tour in a week or so, with tons of flying here and there.
Well, we did it. It was 22 days.
Okay,
and,
3 weeks.
It was 3 weeks, and we went. I remember. I always remember seeing the pyramids in Egypt, of Giza, and the Sphinx, the presentation at night, and then going to Beirut and seeing the beautiful girl who did this. I can still remember her. She did this perfect belly dance. And then I remember the Cedars of Lebanon, and then I remember walking through the Mandelbaum Gate, and that was really scary, with all the troopers up, the military up with guns and everything. And so we walked through, and then we couldn't land, we couldn't fly from Israel to Istanbul, and so we had to go by way of Egypt. Egypt would take us, and then I remember Istanbul, and I remember the Hagia Sophia Mosque and the Blue Mosque, and just things that impress you, things that you recall. And
what year was that when you did that tour?
1966.
Okay.
It was right before the Six-Day War.
Ah. Okay.
And we went into... one thing I recall is that the tour guide told us that if we can get into Syria, if there are no skirmishes at the border, we will go into Damascus. And I remember doing that.
Wow.
We were very lucky.
So you would have been 24. Your interest was in ancient history and in math. Did you go to college?
I did. I went to the University of Pennsylvania, and I graduated as a degree from the Wharton School.
Okay.
And I was not allowed to major in corporate finance. Jerry always reminds me that I say I wasn't able to major in corporate finance, and I wasn't allowed to be a corporate finance major. I remember the professor being very, very Australian, and women in Australia had no rights at all in those days. And so I recall that. And then I went to the Annenberg School and got a master's in communication, and that's how I wound up in...
Nice.
That's how I wound up running my own firm for many, many years.
Good for you.
35 years. And my husband, Jerry, went to law school. I told him, I said, Jerry, I'm going to go to law school, and if the third time... as my charm, I said, I'm going to go. And so he wound up going. And so I got the degree mostly through him.
Well, together. Yeah. When you think back on that time now, in your teens, who inspired you at the time? Do you remember?
It was my teacher, Ida, and she always would sign it Ida B. Bernkoff, Bernkoff, and she was a Penn graduate, and she was the greatest math teacher I ever had, and I thought that I wanted to be like her, I thought that if I could possibly major in math, I would major in math. But I was afraid. I was really afraid. I didn't think I had the intellectual capacity to do that. And so I wound up going to the Wharton School, where everybody started out at the same time, at the same level, at the same time. And Ida Bernkoff was just wonderful. She was my inspiration.
What do you remember about her?
I just remember that she was very strict. She was very no-nonsense when she gave the... And she always gave examples of what she was teaching. And she always gave us extra credit, and I would do all the extra credit that I could possibly do.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. When was the first time you saw the Grand Canyon?
1963. And then I hadn't been there in I hadn't been there until this year, till 2021.
Okay.
It had been a long, long, long time. And I remember, I don't recall that my father or mother even mentioned it. In 63, because it had been, 9 years since the crash, and I just don't remember it.
Do you think that, I mean, I'm just, today, with my today's mind, I'm having a hard time kind of wrapping myself around 1956, 1963, where it was almost like part of the healing, in quotes, was to forget it and move on.
I think that's probably what we did. We forgot it and moved on. But I didn't fly for the first time until 1959, and that's when I had to be drugged.
Did you fly out for the 63 trip to the canyon?
No, we drove. We drove.
From New Jersey,
yes.
What kind of vehicle? Don't tell me a station wagon.
No, it wasn't. It was a car. And we took my Aunt Anna with us. My mother had three unmarried sisters.
Okay.
Jean, Anna, and Josephine. And we took Aunt Anna with us. And Aunt Anna was the historian, and she was very interested in a lot of the monuments and the missions and that sort of thing. But I don't know. I think that was part of the healing process.
Okay. And you were going to California coast? Where were you?
We drove from New Jersey, and we drove as far as San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego,
wow.
And then back.
Quite the tour.
Yeah, and I remember Route 66, and I remember there was a town in Oklahoma. And I can't remember the name of it, but I always remember that. Mm. And I got some jewelry in some turquoise jewelry in Mexico.
Nice.
In New Mexico, yeah.
New Mexico, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that was you've only been to the South Rim, to Grand Canyon twice.
Twice.
And the first time was in 63, and the second was just this year.
Just recently, with my cousin Tom Sulpizio, okay. Who was able to show us the crash location and he talked a lot about the crash, and his conversation always got back to the crash scene, and It was tough listening to it, but I was able to remember it.
Nice.
But I always remember three brief words on the brink of eternity. I never forgot that.
Mm. Mm. Is there anything else about the accident, the time and the people involved that I haven't asked you that you want to tell me about?
I don't, you know, we talked about this, and we talked about whether my cousins were as aware of the crash as I was, and we're just not sure, because nobody ever mentioned it in the family. And I just think that was, in those days, you just didn't talk about unpleasant things. And so I think that I'm listening to the band.
I know. I'm sorry, I didn't think about it, but it's their time. And they get better as the year goes along, so it's easier for us to tell.
Yeah, I know.
Is there anything we've forgotten that I should be asking you about? Again, I'm going to ask you again. Just to make sure.
I don't think so, because I always remember waking up, and I remember my cousin Mac had called Uncle Jimmy, and Uncle Jimmy took care of everything for her and forgot it. And the only other thing that Uncle Jimmy did was do you remember the New York Times versus Sullivan? Mm-hmm. That was when my father was sued for saying something that he should, asking questions about. Some guy was running against him, and they asked him if he had gotten, that he had failed out of school, and he said, no, I didn't. And then I caught the BS and the BA degree, and I said, Daddy, something's wrong with that. I said, you can't graduate from one school and have a BS and then another school and get a BA. And here he was asked to leave school.
Wow.
So, yeah, and the New York Times versus Sullivan came out that you had to, my uncle was very much on top of the law and the decisions that came up, and he saw the New York Times versus Sullivan, and that was you had to be able to prove actual malice, and it had to be fake, and they had the letter. That was it.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything else?
If I say anything, I'm going to have to sign, but I'll just correct the age.
So pull your chair up. So now okay. We're going to bring in Tom Sulpizio Jr., who's bringing up his chair.
Okay.
He's been very quiet. I must commend him for that, which is wonderful. What would you like to add, Tom?
I just want to clarify the age. My age at the time, it was exactly 17 months.
Okay. Thank you.
Just for the record, that's important. Okay.
And
the other thing for the record that wasn't, my cousin Ann didn't mention, which was that my mother and I moved into my grandfather's house.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a small bungalow, two bedroom. So I was still an infant when the accident occurred, so I stayed in a crib for as long as I could stay in the crib. And then we had to build an extra room in the house. Until that was finished, I had to bunk with my mom.
You slept with your mom, yeah.
Makes sense.
So just a little clarification there for the record.
Something else I didn't ask you, what were your mother and father's names?
My mother was Catherine, K-A-T-H-R-Y-N. And my father was Charles, C-H-A-R-L-E-S.
Did they have nicknames? Did they go by Kathy and Chuck? Or?
No. My father was called Doc, but not much. Some people called them Doc.
Okay.
But the older people did. I'm thinking of the pharmacist and Kearney and Dr. Elliot called my father Doc. But other than that,
Ann mentioned Dr. Volpe, he would be a rare doctor these days. He did house calls, so he'd be considered a family doctor or a GP. So the only counseling my mother would ever talk about and triggered the memory was that this Dr. Volpe went over to the house to treat my mother for shock and emotional distress. And he was the family practitioner. He was our family practitioner at least until he retired about 1970-ish.
Okay. Yeah, and then his son took over, and then his son was my mother's doctor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Family doctor. Yeah. V-O-L-P-E.
Nice.
Yeah.
V-O-L-P-E.
Yeah. So Ann mentioned the archives of her uncle James Caiola. And his son, who's also an attorney. And I had to mention this in non-oral interviews with Tom Martin, that I tried to retrieve their archives because they conducted depositions to support the litigation. They conducted first-hand depositions of the various parties involved, and unfortunately, we don't have those documents, those notes. But I have correspondence between our family attorney and my mother, and I have those in that collection, which I'm going to be presenting the original documents to the Grand Canyon Special Collection in the coming months.
Great. Wonderful.
I can't remember anything else, Tom. Okay. That's about as much as I remember.
Well, with that, this will conclude Grand Canyon Oral History Interview with Ann Zia Klein and a little bit from Tom Sulpizio. Today is Thursday, September 23rd, 2021. My name is Tom Martin, and along with the Flagstaff High School Marching Band, I'd like to thank you for this wonderful oral history.
That's great. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.